This time, it's the Trump administration's turn to take on federal procurement and make it more efficient and responsive. The new White House Office of American Innovation, to be headed by Jared Kushner, is one way. So is rubbing out a contracting rule established by the Obama administration. Joining me with his take, procurement attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo and Powell. And Joe, when I got to Washington 25 years ago, you were already experienced at watching these things. And so how often have we seen these types of procurement reforms take place over the years?
Well, people have turned their attention to federal acquisition in virtually every administration that we've had. And there are a number of different ways that this plays out. One way that's very common, which they don't seem to be doing here yet, is to put together a blue ribbon panel, have it issue a report, and then some of the recommendations are or aren't taken and trotted out. But this one seems to be a different kind of idea. It's not clear whether the Office of American Innovation is going to try to make systemic changes or, as it seems more likely, going to try to pick out some particular projects to implement and make quick, rapid improvements in various areas. But if it's the latter, what they're going to find in contracting is you're going to run up against some obstacles that are going to slow you down, may even thwart some of the things you want to do. And the question then becomes, what do you do when you find those obstacles?
And what are some of those obstacles you think they might run into?
Well, the major obstacle is statutory requirements that are imposed on contracts. There are quite a few of those. The statutory obstacles start off well-intentioned, but they keep adding on year after year, encrusting procurement in quite a lot of requirements. And I'll leave it to others to decide whether or not that's a good thing, but it does provide constraints on what you can do quickly in the short term. I mean, there was a time when all government procurement was supposed to be formally advertised, awarded to the low bidder. But, wars would happen, and it would be obvious that that wasn't an adequate method. So Congress would authorize procurements in other ways and give very broad power to the executive branch. Over time, those would have more and more rules, and so we had the competitive negotiation type of procurement with lots and lots of rules growing up around that. More recently, last past few decades, we've had the idea of other transactions. Well, let's have a category of contracts that don't fit into those two prior categories of advertised or negotiated contracts and give greater latitude to agencies in certain circumstances to have those. And some agencies like DOD, NASA, Homeland Security have this authority. But now, of course, there are more and more restrictions placed upon other transactions. If Mr. Kushner and his people are looking at ways to have new transactions and new contracts that are innovative, the least regulated type are other transactions. And that may be where they start.
I wonder if it would be useful for them to focus on specific projects. I know Veterans Affairs came up as a focus area for this innovation office because Veterans Affairs is regularly getting dinged for procurement issues and for information technology issues. And I guess that's another question. Let's get to that one first, because so often over the years, information technology has been intertwined with the procurement of it. They're not strictly the same thing, but they seem to somehow get related year after year, decade after decade, perhaps because it's such a large tab in terms of its percentage of the federal discretionary budget, 6%, 7%, 8%.
Well, and IT is also a great way to change the way things are done. You can pave over the cow path, as they used to say, or you can use IT as a way to reinvent and streamline operations, to change the way goods and services are delivered in the federal environment. The problem we've had in IT, I think, is that there have been a number of initiatives, all of which are well-intentioned and many of which have good goals and objectives, but very few of them seem to be pushed through to completion. And that's the area where I have to wonder whether something like the new office is going to make a difference. It's much easier to propose a really good program or system, and it's much easier to do that than to do the hard work of making sure it is actually implemented, staffed properly, people are trained, it is managed properly, so that at the end of the day, years later, it yields the fruit that you were hoping. That's been the hard part, and I just wonder whether this new office will somehow manage to turn the corner on that and concentrate on implementation as much as thinking of new things to do.
We're speaking with Joseph Petrillo, a procurement attorney with the firm of Petrillo and Powell. And getting back to the VA question, their electronic health records is something they're having a terrible time updating over the years. And also their scheduling and other back office type systems that are very antiquated, or at least the code is old, and they have come to the forefront as problems for VA. I wonder if maybe this innovation office will maybe try to simply use commercial and change VA's direction, where they've always had a tendency to code their own.
Well, you know, that's a great example of a situation where a solution has been proposed but not fully implemented. I mean, the idea of using commercial solutions, commercial items, is one that has been pushed in procurement for many, many years. It's been around long enough. I think you can say it's not a partisan approach at all. It's an approach that's been used by several administrations, and they've always thought that this would be a great idea to use existing commercial goods, services, and technology, modified as necessary for the government environment. But there's been a lot of institutional resistance to that, and so some of those benefits haven't been realized. If you think about it, the idea of scheduling VA appointments doesn't sound all that much different from scheduling appointments in lots of other contexts, so there must be commercial solutions out there that would make sense.
And this whole idea of privatizing seems to be evident, I guess, implied maybe, in the formation of this office, because they're going to be going to private industry to look for answers. What do you take from that?
Well, I think there are some things the private sector does better than government. There are many things perhaps the private sector does better than government. But the notion of realizing the benefits of privatization to improve federal operations ultimately comes down to the ability to award and manage contracts well, because privatized systems are inevitably subject to some type of contractual agreement. There's been a lot of concern that the contracting community, the acquisition community in government, has not been given adequate resources, training, numbers, and tools to do the job it needs to do to get good contracts awarded and to make sure that they're performed well and with benefits to the public. So there, it's going to be hard to have some kind of program that's going to get easy, quick results. We're looking more at a systemic issue that needs long-term resolution, that needs a long-term approach.
And, of course, Kushner will need those people in place at the agencies to be able to effectuate whatever changes they want. It can't come just from a White House office. It just doesn't occur, no matter how much they wish.
Well, absolutely. But I think there are many people in government who would like to see it work better, and they'd like nothing better than to get the tools that they need to do a better job. So if they're making real substantive progress and not just overlaying more and more requirements and initiatives on an already burdened system, I think they're going to get a lot of cooperation and help.
And I wanted to ask you about the Fair Play and Safe Workplaces rule. It never really got established. I mean, it hadn't taken effect yet. And so you might say the cub was smothered in the mother's arms there. But now that the president has signed that joint resolution from Congress, House and Senate, killing that rule, are you hearing from contractors, thank goodness?
Well, I think that's a good example of a well-intentioned regulation that spins out of control. you know, the idea that we want contractors to treat their employees well and to don't violate labor laws makes perfectly good sense. But there are many, many such requirements. There are many things that we'd like contractors to do well. The question is, are these things worth constructing extensive compliance requirements that presumably someone in the government has to monitor, apply, and administer? And all of that takes time and effort. Are we giving people more requirements and more resources to take care of them, or are we simply just overlaying requirements? Because over the last few years, it looks like the latter. And I think the government is in a position where it's unable to implement and properly manage the requirements that are now in place. Adding new ones is only going to dilute the process further.
Joseph Petrillo is a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll post a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.